Well, good morning, everyone. If you do not know me, my name is Tanner Griffith. I'm one of our pastors here. And man, I'm so excited. I just looked to the left of my stage. One of our elders, Jordan Woodard, is here, and their new baby is in the house. That's so exciting. William Allen Woodard is with us this morning. We're glad to have y'all here this morning. We're glad to have every single person in this room here this morning. We are a church. Vintage Church exists to make much of Jesus Christ. And who we want to do that around are doubters, seekers, and followers. So anyone, any journey of faith, wherever you are, if faith is not part of your journey, we want you to have a space in this room to doubt. We want you to be able to come into this place, just kind of be around some folks who do believe and follow Jesus Christ. We hope that you could make this your home. We invite you to stick around for 6 weeks. We find that around 6 weeks, you start to get to know us, get to know our songs, get to know who we are, maybe check out a community group, get any info that you would need to join. We'd love for you to be part of this family. Today, we're in Acts chapter 10. The original reading was going to be the whole chapter. This is a long chapter, and we're going to go over the whole thing, okay? But the reading today, you got to see what's going on. This man named Cornelius, he's a Roman soldier, or actually a leader, kind of in this Italian cohort that we see in this passage. He's praying at the beginning of this passage. And we're going to see Peter praying. And God works in the prayers of these two men in a way that opens up the gospel and the good news of his gospel to go. This is kind of the first step of the gospel to all nations, which, if you've been with us for a while, is what Jesus told them to do. At the very beginning of Acts, he said, take my message to Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. And this is the first step. And what I want us to see today is this happens through prayer. Prayer is the center of this passage. You're going to see God work in the prayers of these two men. This week was an incredible week that a lot of us got to remember the life of Martin Luther King Jr. His 50th anniversary of his death in Memphis happened this last week. And I hope, along with myself, you were able to listen. There is a lot of events and commemorations this week that really did an incredible job of honoring the legacy of this man. This passage, there's going to be some racial hurdles in this passage that actually we still have going on in our country today. And Peter was going to have to lose. He's going to have to see his sin, the way he viewed other nations and ethnicities. And God was going to say, put that away. You know, and we still as a people, as a nation, struggle with these things today. And so what I hope that we see today is through prayer, God will open our eyes to even ourselves, our own sin. What are the things in our life that God's calling us to repent of? And then that God would use us to bring his kingdom here on earth. So let me pray for us, and then we'll jump into Acts chapter 10. God, would you, in this room, in this place, use your word to speak exactly what you need to be said? There's so much opinion in my heart that just might not be right. There are opinions in this room. There's just these ways that we think that, God, I pray that you would speak into, and only your word would stand in our lives. Everything else would just fall away. God, just for our good, for the good of others that are around us, God, reveal to us what sin needs to be let go of and where we are sinning. God, reveal it to us that we may turn to you. God, would you use this word, your word, to these people, to myself at this time? Help us, God. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Man, the first thing we're going to see in this passage is God is always working. He's always working before anyone comes to us or we go to others to kind of bring God's word to somebody. God's word is always, God is always working in people's lives before we even get there. I want to show you this in the passage. So right at the beginning of the passage in verses 1 through 3, we're in Acts 10. We're in verses 1 through 3. This is what happens. At Caesarea, there was a man named Cornelius, a centurion of what was known as the Italian cohort, a devout man who feared God with all his household. He gave alms generously to the people and prayed continually to God. About the ninth hour of the day, he saw clearly in a vision an angel of God come and say to him, Cornelius. So, enter our first character. This man, he's a centurion. He's the leader of this Italian cohort. He's part of this Italian cohort. He is well respected because he's just a good guy. He's generous. We get to see that he gives to everyone. Later in this passage, you see that everyone, the Jewish people, the Roman citizens, they all like this man. He's a man, he prays continually. That's interesting. We get to see basically, he believed in the God of Israel, and the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, and the God of Abraham. In this passage, we're going to see he does not yet know Jesus Christ. He is generally a good guy. And what is he doing here in this passage? He's praying. It's pretty amazing. He's praying. And what happens? The passage tells us that God gives him a vision. And in this vision, the angel of God comes to him. Angel of the Lord comes to him and speaks his name first, Cornelius. That would get your attention. You know, this angel is not one of the angels that make you go have warm, cuddly, soft feelings. Like, oh, this is nice. God, an angel's here with me. In the passage, if you read on, you're going to see the response was terror. He was terrified. Cornelius led an army. He was a powerful man. And when the angel of the Lord walks in a vision and says his name, he's terrified. He even just kind of says, hey, what do you want? Like, what's going on here? And the angel's going to give him instructions. Go basically to Peter. And this is where my name is in the Bible. Go to Simon's house. He's a tanner. My name is in the Bible right here. He's a leather worker. He's a tanner. He's out at Joppa. He's got a nice beach house. He's like, Peter's out at the beach from the sea. Go to Joppa and ask for Peter. That's what this vision tells him. So we've got this first prayer from this first man. Y'all got that? So there's Cornelius, strong, powerful man, centurion, part of the Italian cohort, God-fearing and a praying man. Now, enter Peter. So God tells, the angel of the Lord tells Cornelius to go to Peter. Now we're going to get Peter in verses 9 through 16. Look what happens here. The next day, as they were on their journey approaching the city, this is the men that were sent by Cornelius, Peter went up on the housetop about the sixth hour to pray. And when he became hungry and wanted something to eat, but while they were preparing it, he fell into a trance and he saw the heavens opened up and something like a great sheet descending, being let down by its four corners upon the earth. In it were all kinds of animals and reptiles and birds of the air. And there came a voice to him, "Rise, Peter, kill and eat." But Peter said, "By no means, Lord, for I have never eaten anything that is common or unclean." And the voice came to him a second time, "What God has made clean, do not call common." This happened three times, and the thing was taken up at once to heaven. So a few things. If you know anything about Peter, man, he's like a stubborn guy. And in the best way, in a really great way, honestly, Peter gets a bad rap, but he's like, he cares about things. If you don't know about Peter, Peter was of the people of Israel. He was a Jewish man. And in this passage, you get to see some of his religious background come out. He's hungry. I mean, think about this. He's praying. He gets hungry. The text says his stomach starts growling. He gets hungry. And then he gets into this trance. And weirdly, completely related to his hunger, this vision from God about eating shows up. And the voice comes out. It's full of all these kinds of animals. And Peter says to this voice that says, "Rise, Peter, kill and eat." He says, "No, I'm not going to do that." What you get, if you don't know anything about the people of Israel, their dietary laws, they have this thing that's called, it's restrictions on eating that you probably heard the word kosher, right? We're kosher. I don't eat certain types of meat, certain types of food. I can't mix together. Like I can't have a cheeseburger because there's dietary laws on having beef and dairy mixed. There's all these rules on what could be eaten and what could not be eaten. And Peter was religious. This was his people. This was the law that was given in the Old Testament. Now, yes, he had been around Jesus Christ when Jesus said, "It's not what goes into the body that makes you unclean." He had heard that, but you kind of get to see he didn't really understand that. He didn't understand when Jesus was saying, "It's not what goes into your body that makes you unclean, it's what comes out of you that makes you unclean." And so Peter gets hungry, he's praying in the middle of the day, he has this vision, and he's saying, "No, by no means, I'm not going to eat these unclean or common food." And it happens three times. You get to see that. That's a thing that you see in Peter's life. This concept of three times. Peter has to do things a lot of times, three times. He denied Jesus three times. When Jesus came to him after the resurrection, Jesus asked him three times, "Do you love me?" And here, he's stubborn. He's like, no, I'm not going to rise, kill, and eat. And you actually get to see after this passage, he is totally confused as to what this vision meant. He's left not understanding what this meant. He's hungry, and all of a sudden, the sheet opens up from heaven, you know, and there's bacon and pork chops and all these reptiles, like I guess alligators on there. I know some of the people in this room, they're like really you guys. I know some of you guys that are like into meat and you like have tried lots of different animals. There's lots of different animals. There's reptiles. There's all types of creatures that are like delicious looking foods. And Peter's saying, "No, I'm not going to do this." And God was preparing Peter. What we're going to see in this passage is God is going to work in Cornelius' life through Peter. And God is going to work in Peter's life through Cornelius. It's amazing that a lot of times when God calls us to follow him and particularly love another person, he's going to use that person in your life. Not only you in their life, that person is going to be used in your life. And we get to see this in Peter's life. These religious laws were hindering the gospel. Jesus had come and said, it's not what comes into your body that makes you unclean. It's not what you eat that makes you unclean. It's what's in your heart. It's what comes out. It's what you say. It's what you do that makes you unclean. And here, this vision is trying to prepare Peter. God is telling Peter, get ready to eat and feast with those you've never eaten or feasted with, which were the Gentiles. If you don't know that word, Gentiles in the New Testament is a word where we get our word ethnicity from. Ethnos is the Greek word that we translate into Gentiles. And this time, there was, according to the people of Israel, there's the people of Israel, there's the Jewish nation, and then there's every other ethnicity, which is the Gentiles. And God has told in his command at the beginning of Acts, my mission is to everyone. It's to everywhere. It's to the ends of the earth. And what God is coming and he's about to do with Peter is he's going to say, you need to eat with Gentiles. He's preparing him. What we get to see in this passage is right after this, Peter does not know what's going on. And immediately those two men who are on their journey, they show up. They come and say, hey, this is Simon Peter here. Peter's like, I'm here. They journey. They go back to Caesarea. And that's where our passage has picked back up, is when Peter says, can you tell me what's going on? Cornelius said, hey, I was praying and God told me to go to you, to go get you, and you've showed up. Tell us what God wants us to hear. So Peter starts sharing the gospel. And in verse 34, listen to this. So Peter opened his mouth and said, truly, I understand that God shows no partiality, but in every nation, anyone who fears him and does what is right is acceptable to him. And as for the word that he sent to Israel, preaching good news of peace through Jesus Christ, he is Lord of all. What we see before this is we see two prayers, and God in these prayers brings two men together. And now what we're going to see is Peter's message of the good news is all about peace. The good news of peace is what Peter talks about. The good news of Jesus Christ is all about the peace that he makes, not just with God and man. It's about the peace that he brings man with man. Paul in Ephesians actually tells us that Jesus Christ is our peace, who in himself, he tore down the dividing wall of hostility, the thing that kept Jews and Gentiles separated. Jesus Christ tore it down. The law, the dietary restrictions, he tore all that down. Jesus Christ tore it down. And in himself, when we put our hope and faith in Jesus Christ, we are now at peace with all men. And it's interesting. You know who needed to hear the message of peace? it was not just Cornelius, it was Peter himself. Peter at this time, I actually think that there is a possibility that he understands conceptually that Jesus Christ, in Jesus Christ, we can be at peace with all men because of what Jesus Christ has done with our sin on the cross. But we're gonna see that he really understands it when the Holy Spirit falls upon these people. It's an amazing reality that we see in this passage is as Peter starts preaching this message, the good news of Jesus Christ, and we've heard it on Easter. What is that good news? The good news is that God shows no partiality. He doesn't love the people of Israel more than the rest of the world. There's no partiality. God loves all. And he sent his son, Jesus Christ, to take the sin of the whole world, every single person. He lived this perfect life. He died on the cross for our sins and he rose again. This is the gospel that Peter shares with them. He says, this is the gospel of peace. And as he's sharing this good news, we read in this passage and we see the Holy Spirit just falls upon these people. And they've seen this before. Peter has seen this before. The very first time he preached the gospel, the Holy Spirit had been poured out on the apostles, and they started preaching. And that day, 3,000 people came to know Jesus Christ. And now Peter, and it says these believers from the that were circumcised were there, and they're seeing it. Why do they mention these people that are circumcised seeing it? It's because these people are a part of a faction that believe to become a believer, to really become part of this following of Jesus Christ, you really need to hold on to the Jewish law. The old Jewish law, you've got to hold on to it. But now these people that are believers, part of the circumcised party, they're seeing the Holy Spirit fall upon these Gentiles. And God is working and God is moving. And I think in the real way, the Spirit was falling for the sake of the believers. They needed to actually know, yes, okay, you can say the gospel's for all, but let me show you, my Spirit is gonna be poured out upon these. Jared mentioned in one of his last sermons, when you read the book of Acts, you actually get to see a lot of people focus on the way the Spirit moves. And the Spirit, you can never really see an order or a formula to the way the Spirit works. In Acts 2, the Spirit is poured out before the preaching, and he's in the preaching, the Spirit is being poured out upon the people. We get to see, actually, as the gospel goes to Samaria, the Spirit is kind of weirdly delayed. The apostles go down to Samaria, they lay their hands on these men, and the Spirit shows up. So again, not at all like the first time we saw the Spirit move. And here in this passage, before the message is done, the Spirit has been poured out upon these Gentile believers, these people that are believing. It's amazing. And actually, I think the only formula you can say exists is actually the formula Jesus gave his disciples. Here's where the gospel's gonna go: Jerusalem and Judea, Samaria, and the ends of the earth. The Spirit always shows up in those places. When the mission of God is going forward, that's the formula. We now are at the beginning of the ends of the earth, and the Spirit is just poured out upon his people. And Peter is amazed. It even says this. In verses 44 through 45, it says, while Peter was still saying these things, Holy Spirit fell on all who heard the word, and the believers from among the circumcised who had come with Peter were amazed because the gift of the Holy Spirit was poured out even on the Gentiles. Do you hear what needed to change in Peter? Do you hear what needed to change in the circumcised believers? They were amazed that God would be poured out on people who were different than them. There were hurdles to the gospel that God was going to tear down in Peter and the circumcised party. And he was confirming, I am going to give myself to all people, to all nations. All are made in my image. There is but one human race, and I am for all ethnicities. There is not one greater ethnicity, the people of God, the people of Israel. I do not show partiality to. And Peter and the circumcised party, they had these major issues. They just thought, they were amazed because they didn't think this was part of God's plan, but God is saying, this is my plan. This has always been my plan. My plan has always been to be for all people. There were these hurdles in Peter's life, in these circumcised believers' life. And I've got to ask you today, I've got to ask myself today, where do I need my eyes opened? In many ways, Peter, there's a miracle in this passage, and it's the miracle of sight. That Peter sees where he had some sin in his life of how he viewed other ethnicities. He did not think God was going to relate to them the way that he was relating to himself. I don't know what's going on in your life. I don't know how you see the world, see people. Most of us nowadays, I think, in our minds, think, Tanner, I don't view people in different, like all people are people. You know, in your mind, you might even say the phrase, you know, I'm kind of colorblind. There's some real prejudice, even in this room, that exists, that God hates. And that's in all peoples. God today would be so kind to us to show us those things. In this passage, do you know where all that starts? It starts in prayer. It started with two men on their knees. When we go to God and pray, God will reveal ourselves to us. He will show us our miscomings. When we go, the first importance of this passage to me is go to God in prayer. And one thing you'll see, it gives you the hours that they go pray, because what you can tell is these men's lives rotated on prayer. I mean, they were defined. Their days were defined by prayer. They had these rhythms of prayer that, to be honest, would be very similar. If you're ever reading the Old Testament and you read the story of Daniel, Daniel would go three times a day and pray. This passage, it gives you the hours of when they're going to pray, because you know what? Peter was praying multiple times a day, and they needed to tell you which particular time Peter was going and which particular time Cornelius was going. When we go to God in prayer, you know what will happen? We'll actually meet God. many of us, our main struggle in our faith is prayer. It is the hardest thing for us to do. It is hard to make time. It is hard to get a place. It is, we don't know how to do it. We don't know how to say maybe what's on our hearts or even dig into ways where, like, I don't know how to tell God what's going on within me. Read the Psalms. When you pray, I would really tell you, on the first of the month, read Psalm 1 and let Psalm 1 be your prayer that day. On the 27th, where should you go? Psalm 27. Let that be your prayer. You don't need to make up your own words. The Psalms are a gift to God's church. They're prayers. They're prayers that all of us can pray. I was reading Psalm 62 this week, and I think it was probably something that Peter and Cornelius were doing. Psalm 62 says this. For God alone, my soul waits in silence. From him comes my salvation. That's what prayer is. It's waiting for God in silence. What did prayer look like for Peter? He got hungry, and then he had a vision related to food. Here's a couple things. Listen to your body. Some of you are stressed out beyond belief, even right now. Your chest is tight right now. Your body might be telling you something you don't even realize is happening. And it's so amazing, the physical reality that Peter was having in his life is how God spoke to him. He gets hungry, and then God gives him a vision of food. Some of you moms in this room, I've heard it, you are tired. You know what's great about going to God in silent prayer? You might go to sleep. That is great. Sometimes that's what God wants for us, is our physical realities sometimes are letting us know things that we, because we're just not emotionally intelligent enough yet, we don't know what's going on in the inside. This passage is defined by two men who go to God in prayer. And God moves them and draws them to one another where they're going to mutually benefit each other. Cornelius, what is he going to get? He is going to get eternal life. Peter is going to come to him with this message of Jesus Christ. Cornelius is going to be to get God. The Holy Spirit is going to fall on Cornelius and his household in an amazing thing. You know what Peter gets in that transaction? He kind of sees. He sees some things. And interestingly, Peter is going to see his sin and he's still going to struggle with it. You're going to read the book of Galatians and the very thing that he struggled with here, going to the Gentiles, he's going to in Galatians, the circumcised party shows up, which was with him here, and he's going to forget all this. And he's going to start, he's not going to eat any longer with Gentiles. He's going to go away and Paul has to call him out. Say, this is not the good news. This is completely opposed to the message of peace. That Jesus has made us one new man here. Here's the application that I want to have for you today. One, prayer. Prayer is the hardest. It is, especially in our culture, with the things that we have in our pocket right now. Some of you that have been vibrating throughout the message, your updates are coming through and you know that your what, you know, your weather, your trip, your lunch that you got to go to is, it's telling you, it's demanding a certain speed from your life that you are not meant for. In prayer, God reminds us to slow down, to meet with him, and he will bring us to the right places where he and the right people that he wants us to share his good news to. And interestingly, we're going to get something from that person. I think this passage always tells us there's two people and all and one God. And every story that he writes, he's got something of benefit from both parties. I love that. So prayer, one, application. Where are you with meeting with God in prayer? There's a couple avenues that I would like to recommend. One, even this morning, every Sunday, we have folks in our back right of the room that they just want to pray for you. You don't have to pray. That's one great thing about that you can learn about prayer when you pray with other people. Prayer is not always talking. When someone else prays for you, which these will pray for you, that is maybe a first beginning for you today. We pray every Wednesday at 7 to 7:45 in the back room of Sola Coffee. That might be a step. It's so hard for you to, I need other people to help me. Come to that. You don't have to even say a word, but you can be a part of prayer every week. The other part would be, honestly, don't you want little breaks in your day? Even if it's 3 minutes of silence at some part of your day, wouldn't that be great to put into your daily calendar? To like have no activity, even if it's you just start with 3 minutes of like different space in the world where nothing, you're gonna turn off everything and listen and pray to God. Please do that. Secondly, the second piece that I wanna really talk about is what political, racial, or class ideas are in your mind that really are hard for people to either want to be in a relationship with you or you to be in a relationship with another person. I mentioned three categories: politics, class, and even and racial ideas. Some of you, if somebody said the phrase, "I love President Barack Obama," you'd be like, "Oh my goodness, I cannot love that person." The same thing's true with if somebody said, "I love President Donald Trump." Some of you would be like, "I can't love that person." That's a problem. That is sin. If our politic is above the kingdom of God, you need to repent. The same is true for race. We need to open our eyes and see what our brothers and sisters are even just saying is their reality. Some of us won't even listen to it. You won't even listen to another person's reality. You immediately put it off. You got to repent. We cannot be Christ followers and live in that manner. Some of us are class, the amount of money, the middle class life we love so much, we would just never be around people of different, like that are poorer than us. We have to repent. Spend time in front of God in prayer. Let him come to you. Some of us, we can't see it. Peter couldn't see it. And Jesus was so kind to him in this passage. He was calling Peter to bring the gospel to the people that he loved, that God loved, which was all people. And then finally, isn't it so great that Jesus Christ kept the first and second commandment, that he loved God with all his heart, all his soul, all his mind and strength, and he loved his neighbor as himself. Because honestly, we don't do that all the time. Even like with my spouse, I don't do that with my spouse. I don't love my spouse as I love myself, the person I've committed to. Think of, man, if that's what gets us into heaven is keeping those commands, I've broken those two things so bad. And isn't it, praise God, Jesus Christ did that. We have to trust him. That is the message. He brings us peace. When the Spirit falls upon those people, when they believe, the Spirit will fall upon us when we believe that message. That is what creates perfect unity. Perfect unity in this passage comes through, listen to this, prayer, the preached word of God, the Holy Spirit, and baptism. When we've been baptized, at the very end of this passage, they're baptized. We've been baptized in the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, in the name of the Holy Spirit. What more can make us one? We are baptized believers, and in that baptism, we are united with every believer in this world. Jesus prayed for our oneness. Let's pray for our oneness with him. Let me pray. God, would you take this message, would you take this, your word, and use it for whatever means? God, would you help call us out sin in our life? God, in my life, God, would you just reveal it like you did to Peter? God, would you help me follow you? Would you help these follow you? God, would you help us meet you in prayer? God, we love you. God, would you take us in this time and use us for whatever ways you see fit? It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.